Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for The Money Smarts for You show. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. That's B-A-R-B-I-E at M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number four, the letter U.com. After working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, college students, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. If you live in a crowded city or want a place to get away to, or you're thinking about purchasing a family retreat, there are a few things you need to know before you make an offer on a piece of property or write a check for the down payment. Today I'm discussing the seven things to consider before you buy a vacation or second home. Number one, as always with real estate, is location, location, location. These are things you need to think about. How long does it take you to get there from wherever you are? Do you have to drive or fly? How often do you expect to go to this location? Is this someplace just for you, you and your spouse, your entire family? Is this a popular spot for vacationers? Will it be easy to sell if you find you no longer want to own property in that place? Are there sports you want to partake in, like snow skiing, surfing, boating, water skiing, scuba diving, mountain climbing, hiking, and such, that require you to be in an environment tailored to those activities? Are you wanting a pied-à-terre in Paris, New York, or London to enjoy cultural activities, big city shopping, and the ambiance of a large city? The country getaway in a small town may be relaxing until others move there to get away as well. Busy on holidays and weekends, travel to and from may become stressful, or you may find it gets crowded as more and more people discover your oasis. So don't assume that you will always want to go to your vacation hideaway. Things can change in locations, as can you. Make sure the location you select is attractive for resale as well as for your own personal use and possible rental. Remember also that there are only a few states where no income tax exists. So if you decide to buy a house or a condo in a state where there is income tax, you need to remember you're going to have to keep track of the number of days that you're there. Most states that have income tax require you, if there are a certain number of days to be eligible to pay the tax, and therefore the reverse is true. If you're there less time, then you probably won't be subject to income tax. But this is something you should investigate before you decide to buy a place that you may find you fall in love with and want to spend more time there. Another thing to consider is what you're buying, the location, the place, is it eligible for you to be able to borrow money to purchase it? Or is this something you're going to have to pay cash for? Depending on the banking situation in the local community or the rating of that community credit-wise, you may or may not be able to borrow to buy a second home. Also, your local banks may be able to help you. On the other hand, they may not. So you may want to check that out before you decide to go shopping for something. Remember also that if you have a second home right now, the tax that you pay on the property tax may or may not be deductible against your income tax. So you may want to find out about that too by talking to your tax accountant and finding out whether you do buy a second home, if you're going to be able to deduct those expenses of taxes. Okay, don't let your imagined vacation home overwhelm the reality of what you may find if you make the leap to second home ownership. Travel to the location where you're considering buying and find out what the traffic is like, how friendly the people are, and what it feels like to spend a few days there. Some communities are restricting short-term rentals in some neighborhoods, so if you think you might want to rent your property to help cover expenses when you're not there, know whether you can legally do so. Try it on for size before you buy. Number two, ownership. If you're looking at a condo, you will need to read the condo agreement and bylaws, as well as the homeowners association documents before you purchase your vacation home. These documents will tell you how easy it is to sell the property once you purchase it, whether you can rent it on a short-term basis or only on a long-term lease basis. It will let you know if you have to use the in-house rental agency or if you can use online sites or your own website to set up rentals, how voting rights are assigned, management selected, and what is defined as the common area and what is defined as that which is owned by each condo owner are some of the elements described in the condo owner bylaws and agreement. I really recommend that if you are considering this step, as with any other real estate transaction, that you find a real estate attorney to review any documents while you're in the offer and acceptance process, or maybe even before you make that first offer, just to make sure you know what you're buying, what you're going to be responsible for, and what your rights are going to be. If you're looking at a property that you think you want to share with another family or friend, consider the ramification of ownership with others. How will you actually own the property? Will you own it as a partnership or a limited liability corporation? How will you decide who gets to use the property and when? Will a budget be created that sets aside money for capital improvements, i.e., big repairs, new furniture, new appliances, that kind of thing? Or will special assessments be made specifically for that purpose? How will the budget be developed? Will it be luxurious or on the spare side? Like, will all food and drink be included, or does everybody have to bring their own? What kind of financial transparency will you practice? Who will keep the books? Who will do the booking? Will there be regular audits? Will you include a buyout provision with a valuation metric to make sure you or your fellow owners can liquidate the property if it turns out to be different than expected or no longer attractive for one or the other party to own? Lots of things happen in life, and one of the things that I've learned is if you want to stay friends with people, if you're going to do business with them, you make sure that you all spell out the rules as clearly and as definitively as possible. There's another good reason for doing that. One is it allows you to take certain tax advantages that you might not be able to, but it also keeps one family from feeling like the other family is, quote, using it all the time. The buyout provision concept is important because as much as we would like to believe life is like a, you know, uphill climb and we're always going to have life get better and better all the time, sometimes people have setbacks in their lives, or they may have a loss of a loved one that no longer makes a particular vacation home attractive to go to because it makes them think of that person all the time, or if it's inherited by children, they may have no interest in that particular location or sharing property with somebody else that maybe they don't know that well. So make sure that you put those kinds of definitions in your documents as you set up a vacation home if you're going to buy it with somebody else. Other things to think about are, will you require pet deposits if somebody wants to bring their dog or cat? Will there be deposits for potential damages? In other words, if someone's going to use the apartment, will they, or condo or ranch house or whatever it is, will they need to put a deposit down before they can start using the place on a regular basis? Will there be usage fees in addition to monthly or quarterly assessments? Think very carefully before you decide to purchase a vacation home with friends or family. Number three, versatility. Are you looking at a property that can only be a single-family home or a property that you can turn into rental property that is either short-term weekend rentals or a long-term rental? If you start out enjoying your getaway, using it frequently, then you may actually find it saving you money on hotels and vacation costs. Later on, if the area becomes crowded and you don't, and it doesn't feel like the getaway it once was, you can rent it to others by using online rental sites or the in-house rental agency if one is available, assuming that local laws allow it. If it is ranch land or farmland, are there deed restrictions that prevent further development or division of the property? Will you be able to build a barn on it like you planned, add a guest cottage, Do you have water or mineral rights? Are you permitted to drill a well? Is there a water authority that provides the permits to do so? All these things are things you need to think about if you're going out in the country, because it doesn't look, it looks really easy, but it's not as easy as it looks. It takes a lot of maintenance, a lot of work, a lot of forethought. What kind of remodeling are you allowed to do if you purchase a condo or a home in a historic district? And that may sound like a silly question, but some condominiums have been built a certain way so that the water lines and the plumbing lines only run in certain columns within the building. So the bathrooms have to stay where the bathrooms are, and it's often not possible to, say, add a half bath or add another bathroom. The other thing you may find is if you're looking at, say, a cute little village where they have a lot of historical cottages, you may find that there are rules about remodeling those cottages. You may be allowed to do anything you want inside. It could be ultra modern inside, but from the outside, it has to look like a cottage that was built in the 1800s. So before you fall in love, make sure you learn what the rules are. And as much as I love realtors and they can be really helpful and give you lots of information that you need, sometimes they don't know all the laws. They are not a lawyer. That is not their job. What they know about is the property that you're looking at. And so, you know, if you want to know about these things, contact the city hall, find out if there are renovation restrictions in a historic district as far as a condominium. Go talk to the manager of the building and, if possible, the maintenance manager. Both of those people could be very helpful to let you know about what it is you can do. Will you be able to make your dream house just that, or will it turn into a nightmare? Because if you start working on someplace and you don't know the rules, believe me, the guys that come to do the inspections will let you know exactly what you're doing wrong, and in many cases, fine you substantial amounts of money. Study the market in the area that interests you for at least a year to make sure you really know what is available and how quickly properties sell. By knowing what the market is like, you will be better equipped to know a bargain when you see it come to market. Shop carefully and knowledgeably. Number four, management. Whether you're purchasing a condo or buying a place in the country, how the property is managed will make all the difference in how well you can enjoy your time off on vacation. Is there a management team on site to make arrangements for repairs, keep the common areas in good shape, take care of the pool area, and generally maintain the property? Are you going to have to provide your own maid service, or does management provide it for you? Those two things are really important. If you, if every time you go to your vacation home, something is broken, either because it got broken during the rental process, if you're renting it in a rental pool, or because it just broke from time, because that often happens, like air conditioners and ice makers and things like that, then you get there and you find that you're hot and sweaty because the air conditioning doesn't work, or you find maybe a puddle of water on the floor, or maybe you can't keep your food cold because the refrigerator doesn't work. So it's really important to have a management team that is available to you so that they can help keep your property up to date. Yes, you will pay for it. That's one of the ways they get paid, is by, you know, helping repair people's condominiums or properties, but it's an important thing for you to be able to go and actually relax. Maid service is really a wonderful thing, unless you like cleaning up after yourself when you've been on vacation. Everybody's different, but maid service can make it easier for you to rent a property, or it can make it easier for you to make it available to friends and other people that you might want to give the opportunity of a vacation weekend. If the property is out in the country, will you have to hire and provide housing for a caretaker, a housekeeper, or a ranch manager? Will hiring these people add a dramatic increase in cost to your budget? And the answer is yes. You also would need to look at things like benefits that you'll have to provide and all the other sundry items that come with hiring somebody and providing them a place to live. You may expect them to maintain the place that they're living, but you will ultimately be responsible for it. So if they trash the place, you will get to fix it when they leave. Will your vacation place be an extension of your everyday life, or will you splurge more there or stick to your overall spending plan or budget? Do you need to have a car, truck, boat, or special equipment to enhance the pleasure of your stay? Have you factored in the extra cost of these new play toys that you may have to purchase as part of your home away from home? These are all things you need to consider when you're looking at ownership interests and how you want to buy something and whether there's management. Okay, and besides that, if you have a boat, a car, a truck, it needs to be winterized if you're not there in the winter. You also have to look at the fact that the gas goes stale after a certain period of time. So there are lots of things that are involved in having extra toys at your particular location that management might be able to help you with. 5, insurability. Not all property can be insured or insured to the level that you would like it to be. If you're looking at property located on any one of the coasts subject to hurricanes, find out if you can get windstorm insurance, flood insurance, as well as normal casualty insurance. Even if you have insurance, it may be a battle to get payment for any losses you sustain in the event of an event where wind, rain, or rising waters damage your property. Different insurance carriers cover different types of losses, often resulting in one insurer passing the buck to another after a catastrophic weather event. Ask around in the area that you're buying to find out what kind of reputation the different insurers in that area or that cover that area or that kind of property have. Also, ask your own insurance agent. You know, are you able to cover this property? You know, I'm looking at a beach house in North Carolina. Can you tell me if you can help me with that? Okay. If you're looking at condominiums, some cities have codes that older buildings may or may not comply with, leading to the inability to obtain basic casualty insurance. Talk to your insurance agent when you're looking at property to find out if there's certain areas where the rates are lower or if there is special coverage available needed to protect the contents and the structure. Condo associations usually purchase policies that cover the common areas for liability issues for those swimming pools, gardens, and lobby areas. In addition, the overall building itself and some operating systems like elevators may be covered for casualty loss. 6, maintenance. Management and maintenance go hand in hand. All of the same maintenance issues are part of owning a vacation home as are involved with owning the home you live in from day to day. There are systems that require annual checkups like the air conditioning and heating, gutters that need cleaning, fireplaces that need to be checked and swept, appliances that may need repair or replacement, as well as generally cleaning and dusting. You can schedule these checkups or repairs when you plan to be in residence at your vacation home, but that, of course, will take away time that you might ordinarily just want to be vegging out on the sofa and not have to deal with reality. Depending on what type of arrangements are available, you might be able to have a manager supervise the service call if you've arranged that with them in advance. Some buildings have in-home management systems. In other words, they have an entire maintenance staff that's dedicated to everything from plumbing to electricity to air conditioning, the whole shebang. So check on that also as you're considering what you're going to buy. If you're way out in the country, then you may not be able to call a cleaning service, but you may need to have a live-in housekeeper or caretaker with the added expense of that. If you have substantial acreage, then you may not be able to have a lawn service come to do the yard, but you may need a ranch hand to run a tractor and mow the pasture regularly. Keeping brush and dry grass under control will be your first line of defense against fire for your country place in the event there are wildfires in the area. Maintaining your water well in good working order is important. If you're in a drought-stricken area, you may have to consider buying bottled water, installing a water catchment system to have some water to use for hygiene and cooking once it's filtered. Drilling a water well and installing a septic system, as well as a water catchment system, even a solar panel array, can be expensive. So investigate the costs in the area where you are looking to buy. If you want a swimming pool, make sure you're not going to be digging through solid rock or that you can get a permit for the water with which to fill the pool. If you don't have any experience with country living, consider renting a home for a month or so in the location you like to find out what it feels like to have to drive 30 minutes or so to get to the grocery store. and to discover that not only have you been and gone to the grocery store, which was a trip that took about 2 hours, but when you got back, you had forgotten that all-important element to make those chocolate brownies, and you have to start all over again. 7, annual and lifetime cost. If you only use your getaway for your own personal use or that of your family, it may have an asset value of what you could sell it for or rent it for, but for all practical purposes, it is a liability. A liability because you're absorbing all the expenses and not trying to make a profit. Yes, you may use it once a month or twice a month, but the days it is sitting vacant, you're still paying for it and not earning anything on the money it costs you to maintain it. A monthly assessment from a condo association to the salary of a ranch manager, all these are funds that you'll be spending and that you do not have available for other uses. There are opportunity costs to buying a vacation home, money you're spending for that home that you do not have available to spend on a new car, a trip elsewhere, refurbishing your full-time dwelling, or even renting a more luxe living space for a vacation or everyday life. Writer Peter Mayle mentioned in his book Acquired Taste that the best vacation home is the one you don't own. With the proliferation of rentals available through reputable online sites, the opportunity of a change of scenery is endless. Think carefully before you lock yourself into just one place for your vacation retreat. One thing I have not discussed is the estate planning ramifications of a second home. If it is out in the boonies and your children are city dwellers who live miles and miles away, it may not be a place they will want to frequent. How they will have to pay for it and handle the day-to-day management can be quite a chore and very expensive to boot. You may find it best to locate a wonderful little hotel you can return to year after year where you can make friends with the manager or owner, and if things change or you change, move on to the next place that interests you. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.